Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, help me to make this time of prayer fruitful, to listen to you, to whatever you have to tell me. And today we pray about Martha and Mary. We open the Gospel of St. Luke to the 10th chapter and we read, "Now as they went on their way, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken from her.'" And we would like to be Mary, sitting at your feet, listening to you, praying, being contemplative like Mary. But our vocation in life, our job, our family situation so often requires that we can't do that, at least for any length of time. But rather, we must be Martha. We say, "Lord, I can't sit at your feet. I'm a housewife and a mother. I am busy all day looking after the children, looking after the housework and the shopping and my husband. When can I find time to be Mary? I'm Martha, busy in the kitchen." And someone else will say, "I'm a student. I have to study so hard to pass my exams. I don't have time to be Mary." Someone else will say, "I'm a truck driver. I leave early in the morning. I'm driving the truck all day. I'm busy. I'm Martha. I can't be Mary. Maybe I can find a few minutes each day to stop and pray. But my life is too busy to be a Mary sitting at your feet." And someone else will say, "I'm a doctor, and I'm busy all day too, looking after my patients and then my family." And someone else is a businessman and all the different occupations. And we all think, "Lord, I can't be Mary. I would love to. I'm busy. I am in the world. Which of these two should I be? Should I be Mary?" And then you can praise me and say, "I have chosen the better part." Or do I have to be Martha? But then you reprimand me that I am anxious and troubled about many things, and only one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the better part. And when we look at it, and Lord, we do this in your presence, aware of your will for us, we all immediately identify with Martha. And we should always remember, Martha was not only busy, she was working for you. She was working for God. This is our vocation, to be busy working and working for God. This is the vocation of the laity. The Second Vatican Council tells us that. It belongs to the laity by their special vocation to engage in temporal affairs and order them according to the law of God. To engage in temporal affairs, the affairs of the world. Other people have a different vocation. Many are there in the monastery, in the convent, praying, although they too are working a good part of the day. But my vocation, we all say, is to be in the world, to engage in the affairs of the world and order them according to the law of God, to make this world a better place. This is the vocation of the laity. And in this sense, we are all Martha. We are called to work hard. And Lord, you are the one that tell us that. You say it through St. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians in his second letter. There we read in the third chapter, "Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We did not eat anyone's bread without paying, but with toil and labor, we worked night and day, that we might not burden any of you. It was not because we have not that right, but to give you in our conduct an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command, if anyone will not work, let him not eat. For we hear that some of you are walking in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work in quietness and to earn their own living. Brethren, do not be weary in well-doing." And Lord, you give us through St. Paul that exhortation to work, to be busy, not to be idle. And if someone is not willing to work, St. Paul goes on, let him not eat. You want us to be busy. There is so much to do in this world, to make this world a more human environment, to look after our family, our friends. There is not a moment to be idle. And St. John Chrysostom, in a homily on the Acts of the Apostles, says, "Work is man's natural state. Idleness is against his nature. God has placed man in this world to work, and the natural thing for the soul is to be active and not passive. It's our very nature that commands us to work. Idleness, as St. John says, is against our nature. And we read in the Old Testament that man was made to work as the bird to fly. It is of the nature of the bird to fly. It is of the nature of man to work, to be busy, not to be idle. And St. Jose Maria, in his book, The Way, has 3 points that tell us this. In point 356, we read, "I don't understand how you can call yourself a Christian and lead such an idle, useless life. Have you forgotten Christ's life of toil? And Lord, help us to remember your 30 years of work in the workshop of Joseph, and your 3 years of public life when you scarcely had leisure even to eat. You were working. You were busy. This is what you want from us, to be Martha, busy about the good things of this world." And then in the next point in The Way, we read, "It seems, so you say, as if every imaginable sin were awaiting the first idle moment. Why, idleness itself must be a sin. He who pledges himself to work for Christ should never have a free moment, because to rest is not to do nothing. It is to relax in activities which demand less effort. And it is so true, as St. Jose Maria says, that it seems as if every imaginable sin were awaiting the first idle moment. I dare say that is the experience of all of us. When I was little, we had catechism classes in the parish, and the nuns would tell us, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Lord, help us to keep busy like Martha. And then the next point, number 358 in the way, idleness is something inconceivable in a man who has the soul of an apostle. He can't be idle. There's too much to do. There are too many souls to help. And going back to that previous point, he who pledges himself to work for Christ should never have a free moment. That we be always busy. There is so much to do. And Lord, help us to learn that lesson, that we be busy. And we should ask ourselves, am I always busy? How do people know me? As someone who is lazy, doing so little, or someone that is busy, achieving so much? There are people of whom others can say, I don't understand it. She has so much time, and she does so little. And there are others of whom they can say, I don't understand it. She has so little time, and she achieves so much. Lord, help us to be the latter. Little time, but we're working well, we're achieving much. But working at what you want us to do. So important, this aspect. Not doing what we feel like, because we can keep busy all day doing what we feel like, even our work. But we're choosing the job that is the easy one, when you want us to be doing the hard one. That we be asking you throughout the day, Lord, what do you want of me? What job should I do now? And we listen to you and we respond to what you are asking. And if you want us to do that harder job that we have been putting off, we do it. Now we are not only busy, but we are pleasing you by doing that job that you want. And then to finish the job, to stay at it until it is finished. And we read in this other book of St. Jose Maria, Furrow, where there's a whole chapter on work that we would do very well to take to our prayer. In point 488 of Furrow, we read, heroism at work is to be found in finishing each task. Finishing it to the end, not giving up, not having that cup of tea or doing something else until we have finished the job. This is to keep busy. This is to do the will of God. This is sanctity. Because, Lord, sanctity is love for you shown in doing your will, not our will, not the will of our flesh, the whims, the comfort, but doing what you are asking. This is sanctity. And then if we are going to work hard and work for you, we want to do it well. It's for you. Everything we do is for you. From our morning offering, where we offer everything we will do this day, our prayers, our works, our joys, our suffering. All for you, like Martha, working for you. But if we work for you, we must work well. If we imagine the meal that Martha was preparing for you, how well it would have been prepared. just the way you like it, with all of those details of presentation. And this is the way we do everything. If we are truly, Martha, working for you to do it well. And St. Jose Maria writes in Furo, "You cannot sanctify work which, humanly speaking, is slapdash. For we must not offer God badly done jobs." And Lord, you in the Old Testament wanted the Jews to offer the very best to you. The Passover lamb was to be a one-year-old lamb without blemish, to offer you the very best. And in the book of Leviticus, we read, "You shall not offer God anything that is faulty, because it would not be worthy of him." Lord, we can only offer you the very best, and help us to do that, and our work well done, whatever our work may be. We are doing it for you. We want to give you the best. And sometimes we will work well because someone is watching us and we want to make a good impression. Lord, help us to go beyond that. When no one is watching us, then how do we work? That we do it the very best we can. This is for you. This is our sanctification. This is what we offer you. We're not going to be martyrs offering you our life all at once. We will be those martyrs who offer you our life day by day, minute by minute, doing everything in the best way we possibly can, remembering that whatever we did to the least of our brethren, we did to you. Everything we're doing is for you. Then let us work well. Much of what we do will be for the immediate benefit of someone. The mother preparing the meal, doing the laundry, cleaning the house, putting those flowers. This immediately benefits someone else. The tailor making the suit, the hairdresser doing the hair, the doctor looking after the health of his patient, immediately helping someone, and those people can think, "This is for Jesus. This family of mine, this patient of mine, this customer of mine is Jesus, and I do it well, not only for the customer, for Jesus." And other people's work is much more remotely benefiting others, but everything is for God, everything benefits others in some way. Lord, help us to work well. And we should ask ourselves too, by way of examination, what is the quality of my work? Everything I do, can others look at it and thank me and compliment me because it is done so well? Or do they look at me with their hands up in the air as if to ask, "How could you do that? Is this the way you work for God?" Lord, help us to do everything like Martha, doing it well, because it is for you. And how do we remember to do it for you? The morning offering is that first moment. Everything we do this day, Lord, is for you. And we can ask you when we say that morning offering, "Help me to do everything well. Help me to work hard, to be busy all day for love of you." But then when we begin a task, it is very helpful simply to ask you, "Lord, help me to do this particular job well." And we can offer it up to you. "Lord, this is for you." And a very helpful thought is to offer it in addition for some particular human intention, some member of our family. We should run through all the members of our family throughout the day. This job for this one, that job for the other one. And then we have our friends, and they have their needs, and the members of their families, and the needs of the church, the local church, the universal church, the Holy Father. and the needs of the world for peace, for harmony. Lord, so many intentions. If when we begin a task, we think of one of those intentions, we offer it up then for that intention, we will work hard. We will work well. This is for that benefit. And then, Lord, help us to work in your presence, aware that you are with us. You are beside us. You are in our soul, in the state of grace. You are watching us. By what we do, we are storing up treasure in heaven, if we do it well. And Lord, help us to do it well always. And perhaps putting a crucifix on our desk, on our workbench, in the kitchen, on the wall, an image of Our Lady, a photograph of our family. All of these can remind us of you and to do things well for you, that we live in your presence. And undoubtedly Martha was. Yes, she was busy in the kitchen, but she was thinking of you and perhaps even envying Mary. How much I would love to sit at your feet too, but who is going to prepare the meal? Someone had to prepare that meal, and this was Martha, doing it for you, doing it in your presence. And then throughout our work, we can be saying those little aspirations. Lord, help me. Lord, thank you. Lord, I'm sorry. And whatever other aspirations we want to say, these help us to work like Martha for you, to remember that we are in your presence, doing everything for you. St. Josemaria tells us two beautiful examples of people who were working, but not only working, working for God. The first one comes in point 498 in Furrow. You are writing to me in the kitchen by the stove. It is early afternoon. It is cold. By your side, your younger sister, the last one to discover the divine folly of living her Christian vocation to the full, is peeling potatoes. To all appearances, you think, her work is the same as before. And yet, what a difference there is. It is true. Before, she only peeled potatoes. Now, she is sanctifying herself, peeling potatoes. A beautiful example. We can be just peeling potatoes, or we can be sanctifying ourselves, peeling potatoes, because we have offered it up to you, because we're going to peel those potatoes well, because we are thinking of the family for whom we are preparing this meal, and we are truly sanctifying ourselves by doing that most menial, humble task. This was the life of Martha. So many humble tasks in the kitchen, in the house, but done for Jesus. And then the other example comes in point 517 of Furrow. Sanctifying one's work is no fantastic dream, but the mission of every Christian, yours and mine. That is what that lathe worker had discovered when he said, "I am overwhelmed with happiness when I think how true it is that while I am working at the lathe and singing all the time, on the outside and on the inside, I can become a saint. How good God is. While I am working at the lathe and singing, I can become a saint." And we become a saint through that very work, done well, working hard, offering it up to God. Lord, you want us in the world to be Martha. But in order to be Martha, we must also be Mary. If we are going to sanctify our work, if we are going to say those aspirations, if we are going to do things well and with love for you, we will be able to do that if we have stopped some time each day simply to be Mary and pray. to listen to you, to have those moments, whether it be especially the Mass, that time of worshiping you, of listening to you, of praying to you, of receiving you in our soul in Holy Communion. The Rosary, meditating on your life as seen through the eyes of Mary. Spiritual reading, reading that book that nourishes our soul and our life of piety, especially the Scriptures. Every day, a little bit of the Scriptures, and mental prayer. That prayer of silence where we sit in your presence and listen to you, talk with you about whatever topic. When we do this, and this won't be as much time as we spend working, much less. It might be an hour, it might be 2 hours a day, which we can find the time to do. If we do that, then, Lord, we will be working better for you. We will remember you more often because we will be truly contemplatives in the midst of the world. Then we will truly work for you and not just work. Instead of just peeling potatoes, just working at the lathe, just plowing the field if one is a farmer or casting one's nets as a fisherman. We will be working for you. We will be Martha, sanctifying that work. And again, we go to Furrow, and in point 487, we read, "Before God, no occupation is in itself great or small. Everything gains the value of the love with which it is done." And we will work with love because we love you, because we have been Mary, because we have spent that time listening to you in prayer. And then another point. Let me stress this point. It is in the simplicity of your ordinary work, in the monotonous details of each day, that you have to find the secret which is hidden from so many of something great and new, love. The secret is love, to put love into what we are doing. Love for you, love for our family, love for those people for whom we are offering up the work. We put love into it, then it truly sanctifies. But in order to put that love, we must have love. We must stop and pray. And St. Jose Maria says too in Furrow in point 497, "Let us work. Let us work a lot and work well without forgetting that prayer is our best weapon." That is why I will never tire of repeating that we have to be contemplative souls in the midst of the world who try to convert their work into prayer. But in order to convert our work into prayer, we must have times dedicated solely to prayer, to be contemplatives like Mary. And again, we say this won't be a long time each day, but we need those times. We need to be Mary if we want to be Martha. And then we will be both Martha and Mary. But our life is essentially in the world that of Martha. And we ask Martha, "Martha, help me to work hard, to work well, to get started, to finish the job as you did, and help us to work for Jesus. Everything for Jesus, everything for the love of God. And Mary, help me, like you, to be contemplative, prayerful, to spend some time each day in prayer, talking with Jesus, listening to him, sitting at his feet, looking into his eyes, growing in love for him, so that we can bring that love into everything we do. And we can finish going to the last point in this chapter on work in furrow, where St. Jose Maria writes, "Place on your desk, in your room, in your wallet, a picture of Our Lady, and look at it when you begin your work, while you are doing it, and when you finish it. She will obtain, I can assure you, the strength for you to turn your task into a loving dialogue with God. Mary, help me to do this, to have you present, to think of how you worked hard too for Jesus and Joseph and the apostles, that we remember you so that we can work like you. You truly worked for God. You truly sanctified your work. Help me to do the same. Help me to be Martha, working for Jesus, and Mary, sitting at his feet. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me."
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.